You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The value of a human being. Is it $100? $1,000? $100,000? What are you worth? What are you worth?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, Heavenly Father, in a day when inflation has confused the value or worth of almost everything around us, and industrialization has reduced the masses to mere numbers, when computers have taken the place of people, and unisex has obscured individuality, give us a sense of personal value and worth. Show us our need for and by those around us. And teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit to count ourselves as eternally precious in your sight, the treasure for which your Son lived and died on earth and rose again to redeem us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. What is the value of a human being? That's a thought brought to mind by a couple of stories Jesus told in response to being heckled by some of his more persistent opponents. St. Luke writes about it this way as he begins the 15th chapter of his gospel. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. What is the value of a human being? To make the question a little more interesting, perhaps we should personalize it a bit and ask, what is the value of you? What are you worth? Without a doubt, it's a loaded question. The value of a human being. Is it $100? $1,000? $100,000? All we own? All we stand to inherit? Quite a few years ago, when I was still in high school, one of my teachers wanted to make an impression on our class. And he did. we made a chemical analysis of the human body and theoretically divided the body of an average-sized person into its various chemical parts, iron, phosphorus, oxygen, nitrogen, and so on. And if I remember correctly, the whole bundle could have been purchased in any drugstore for something like 98 cents. At today's inflated prices, the cost might run as high as $6 or $7, or a little more, but still not very much. How much is a human being worth? Looking at the question from another angle, someone might answer, that depends on who the person is. Names like Jean-Paul Getty and Howard Hughes and Aristotle Onassis come to mind when measuring personal wealth. For in their day, they were among the richest people in the world. In the minds of most people, they were worth considerably more than many people listening right now. A few years ago in the United States, there was a squabble going on because certain students were being drafted for military service while others were not. University students with lower grades were being inducted into the armed forces, providing they were physically capable, of course, and others were being exempt. One might have deduced on that basis that the brighter students, those with the greater intellectual power and ability, were worth more and thus kept from the dangers of war. Another common approach to determining the value of a human being is the measurement of his contribution to society. His value depends on whether he is a ditch digger or a doctor, whether he is a common laborer or a college professor, whether he is of the rank and file or a gifted professional, whether he is a responsible citizen or a drunken bum. What is the value of a human being? What are you worth? You can thank God, my friend, that where it counts, you are not measured by human standards, that your real worth is not determined by how much money you may have in the bank, by how much intellectual or brain power you possess, by what kind of a job you have, by how popular you might be among those around you. To God, to Jesus Christ, a human being is worth more than everything else in the world. Instructing his disciples, Jesus asked, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" As far as he, Jesus, was concerned, the man who gained the whole world in exchange for his soul was getting the worst of a bad bargain. Our Lord Jesus spoke often about saving people from their sins and their separation from God, and he judged or measured the value of people by giving up his own life for their salvation. This is something he didn't have to do. He was, after all, the Son of God, one with God, by whom all things were made and came into being. St. John writes in his Gospel that without him, not anything was made. He was Lord over all in heaven and on earth, but he wept over those who refused his offer, who refused to receive him as their Savior. The Apostle Matthew pictures him sorrowing over the people of his day and saying, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." A little farther on in his Gospel, St. Luke adds, "As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace.'" These were the people he had come to redeem or buy back from sin. That's how much people are worth to him. That's what you are worth, my friend. You and I. We are the people he has come to redeem from sin. And there are so many that still turn away from him, turn their backs on him, ignore him, deny him, or reject him as though he did not exist. the full depth of his sorrow over those who refuse to receive him as their Savior can be understood only when we consider carefully what he says in our text. There is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. If each and every person who repents causes joy in heaven, try to imagine the sorrow of our God over the thousands upon thousands of people who die every hour of the day with never a thought of salvation and never a word of repentance. And to find such people, we frequently need to go no further than the bounds of our own family units, and almost certainly not beyond the boundaries of the towns or the cities in which we live. No wonder, then, that when he told the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, Jesus stressed the value of the individual. In each example, all the others were left behind for a little while in order that a search might be made for the one that was lost. And when the lost one was found, there was great rejoicing. This is not to say that the many who were left behind were unloved or were left to perish. They were already safe and secure in their proper place. There are people who have criticized these parables of Jesus because the many were left alone for a while. Suppose, however, that you were the lost one. Would you have wanted him to stay behind with the others who were safe and secure and not be concerned about you and your immediate need? We most usually tend to think of ourselves as being among the many who are not lost, who are safe and secure, and not in dire need of immediate concern. But the truth is that we have been, and often are, like the lost sheep and the lost coin. We came into the world as lost and condemned creatures. By virtue of the sinfulness of our parents, and their parents before them, we have inherited the sinfulness of our first father, Adam. Even now, after having come to the knowledge of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, Christians daily sin much and are not worthy on their own merits of the least of God's mercies. The state and fate of all mankind after the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, and this includes all of us, was separation from God forever. But the Son of God suffered the punishment of our condemnation when he died on the cross for our sins, and he restored us to the fold, as it were, when he rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and death, and giving to all who believe in him the promise of everlasting life. We were lost in sin, and he found us. We were cut off from God, and he came to search for us, to seek us out, and to make us his own. Now, when we stumble and fall, he picks us up. When we go astray, he calls us back. When we grow weary, he revives us. When we become weak, he gives us strength. For it is his will that none be lost. Surely, it is a joy and a comfort to us to know that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. It keeps us from becoming discouraged and despondent. It reminds us of God's promise through Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and help you. I will uphold you." All people everywhere have been redeemed or bought back from sin by God through Jesus Christ, ransomed not with perishable things, as St. Peter writes in his first epistle, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The lost have been saved. The lost who repent and return to their Maker through faith in Christ cause even the angels of heaven to rejoice over them. How much are you worth? Look to Christ Jesus and see. You are worth the eternal glory prepared for you by Almighty God. You are worth the sacrifice of God's own Son. You are worth the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. More than a king's ransom, you are worth the rejoicing of all the angels in heaven. What a precious prize you are in the eyes of God. Amen.